I got up here and then remembered, that's what I was forgetting. And then I thought, so I'll blame it on Roger and give you a hard time. But you beat me to it. All right. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be looking at verses 10 through, well, actually, we'll just kind of be looking at verse 15, but I want to give you the whole context, which is basically verses 10 through 17, familiar passage of the Christian soldier and his armor. Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says there in verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." I mentioned verse 15 is our main text, what I want to zero in on. And this, the context here, verses 10 through 17, the Christian soldier and the armor he's supposed to take on, is presenting the idea of a soldier very much in the defensive position. Okay? So the idea is the devil is attacking, the fiery darts are coming, you use the shield of faith, you're supposed to have, you know, your loins girt about with the belt and the helmet on and all these different things, but your feet, here in the context, are supposed to be planted firmly. You're supposed to be stable on your feet, steadfast in the gospel of peace. And so the context is very much painting the picture of a defensive position, isn't it? But if you give me the liberty, I'd like to preach on the offensive task of a soldier, of the Christian soldier. And I think you'll see that all of the armor mentioned here and all the gear of a soldier in general is useful not just in the defensive, but also in the offensive. There are important tools that God has given to the Christian soldier here in this context. And there are important equipment that we give to our soldiers in real life. And they're all important for whatever task the soldier will face. The offensive task of the soldier, the Christian soldier that I would like to zero in on today is, of course, evangelism. And I would like to call it everyday evangelism this afternoon. Romans chapter 10, verse 15 speaks very much about the feet of those who serve the Lord and the offensive task that they are undertaking. It says in chapter 10, verse 15 of Romans, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace." And if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, there's some real parallels, isn't there? "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things." There, Paul was quoting from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, where it says a very similar thing. The offensive task of the child of God, of the disciple, the follower of Christ, is to be preaching the gospel of peace. And so here in Ephesians chapter 6, there's a picture of a defensive position, but I want us to think about how these feet are supposed to be used in the offensive way. Preaching the gospel of peace. And we notice here in verse 15 that your feet are supposed to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We'll kind of look at some of those different words here this afternoon and bring some offensive application. You wouldn't just wear your sandals on the defensive. You see, you wouldn't take your sandals off when it's time to go on the offensive. And so I believe that there's important application for both stances. This concept of everyday evangelism that I would like to zero in on and call it today is really one that the Lord's been working on my heart, and somehow I want to see it spread to our whole church. In the coming months, this year, I want to see even those words of everyday evangelism to become something of our regular vernacular around here. Not just something we're practicing, but something we're talking about. That is my burden today, and I want to share it with you. We need everyone in our church to embrace the lifestyle of everyday evangelism. What is everyday evangelism? Well, I would say it's this. It's an evangelistic mindset that we need to be cultivating here in our church. It's employing all possible normal interactions that you have throughout your day, throughout your weeks, for the gospel. It's making them work for the gospel. It's making the gospel the supreme purpose of your relating with other people. Even if it's your grandchildren, even if it's your neighbor, even if it's the cashier behind the register, you're using all the relations that God is bringing into your life for the supreme purpose of the gospel. You say, well, that person's already saved. Well, the gospel is more than just forgiveness of sins. It's a whole. If you look at Philippians 1:27, our theme verse for the church. Boy, there's a lot there contained in the gospel, isn't there? And so there's always a way to bring things back to the gospel in your relationships with other people. It is always trying to point a conversation to the gospel. Everyday evangelism. In short, and I think I picked this up from Brother Raines, it's a spirit-filled Christian. Remember? It's a spirit-filled Christian. What's a spirit-filled Christian? It's that individual who's going throughout their day, they're conscious of God. They are allowing the Spirit to control them, control their attitude, control their actions. They are letting God call the shots. They're following His will for that day. Now, believers are sometimes afraid to share the gospel. But I want you to understand today that everyday evangelism, this concept that I like to generate in our church, is not something that's supposed to be a burden to us. It's not something that's supposed to be hard for us to do. In fact, understand it's not something that God wants you to feel in bondage to through guilt. If that's the way we view evangelism, sharing the gospel, reaching out to others with the truth of God's forgiveness and His sacrifice, if that's the way we view it, you know what we are doing? We are falling prey to lies of the devil. I really believe that. Because you think of Matthew chapter 11, verse 30. Jesus said there, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If the devil is telling us, and he's trying to, that this is a hard thing. You can't do this. You need to let people kind of have their way, and you got business to do, and it's too hard. If that's the way we think about evangelism, then I believe we're falling prey to lies. Because serving the Lord is an easy thing. Yes, it's a yoke, but it can be easy. And yes, it's a burden, but it's a light one, Jesus said. So why would we then view evangelism as a hard thing? I would say one of the reasons why is just because we don't do it enough. The more you do something, the more you learn that it's not such a burden often. The more you get used to it. That could be one reason. We have not learned to love it. Why have you not learned to love it? I believe in part is because we're not choosing to allow it to become a natural part a natural part of our everyday lives. I think of various things that we say are hard in life. My kids, they don't like the smell of the farm. Some of the girls especially, they'll give me a hard time. They're like, "Daddy, why do you like the farm? It stinks so bad." Well, they say that because they haven't experienced the farm enough. To me, the farm is a lot more than smell. The farm means a lot more to me than that, and I love it. Some people would maybe criticize Pastor because he likes hunting. And they say, "Why would you want to sit in the bitter cold?" Okay, well, hunting is a lot more than cold temperatures. How about some of you ladies? You enjoy shopping, and the men don't understand that. We think that shopping is very much, endless rows of boring clothes and food that you can't eat until it's on the dinner table and all that. But some of you ladies, you've learned to love it. Why? Because you've experienced it's enjoyable to get a good deal, or it brings joy to provide for your loved ones, and maybe other reasons. You get new ideas while you're out or something. And so you've learned to love what I would consider to be a hard thing, because you've experienced it more than me. What about preaching? Some people don't understand how one could enjoy preaching. But the more you do it, the more you realize, I get to share my heart with people, and that brings joy to me. It's not just scary getting up in front of people. No, there's more to preaching than that, and you learn to love it. How about evangelism? Well, it's more than just uncomfortable confrontations. It can be an adventure. It's caring for the souls of other people. It's taking the truth of the gospel and sharing it with them and making, Lord willing, as the person responds, a change to their eternal destiny. That can bring joy, and we can learn to love it. So, I would say that in many ways, it's just something we need to do more every day in our normal activities. It's something we need to learn to make a part of our natural everyday lives. We can have Send the Light Day, and that's very important. But the way that our church will really make an impact on the community is if we have our church every day evangelizing. Each one of you individually making a natural part of your everyday life. And so we need to see today that we must embrace our commission to share the gospel every day. Every day.
And here are three things that we need to practice
everyday evangelism. Number one, notice with me, everyday evangelism requires everyone. Everyday evangelism requires everyone. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." This wasn't just written to pastors or people in ministry, missionaries or something. It's your feet, your feet, your feet, your feet, and your feet. Every single one of our feet, we're supposed to be equipping them. We're supposed to be preparing them, making them ready, as we'll get into here, foundational, stable in the gospel of peace. Both on the defense, but then also taking that on the offense when it's time for those feet to move. Your feet. Everyone's feet. All of our feet need to be in this fight. And so understand that your job every day is simply to share the gospel of peace. You say, well, I have this job where I work at this every day, and that's how I earn my income, and I have this job, and that's how I earn my income. No, understand the Great Commission, our main job, the main purpose we have, all of us, every one of our feet, is this purpose here, sharing the gospel of peace. That is our job every day. It says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, you're familiar with it, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost." Those are the words that Jesus left with those who follow him. That's our job. That's our main purpose, to glorify God through the spreading of the gospel of peace.
Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, those are the words that our Savior left with us. That's what he commissioned us to do. Luke chapter 24, verse 47, it says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. All nations. Romans chapter 1, verse 6, Paul said there, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We get ashamed of it at times, though. But that was not Paul's attitude. I am not going to be ashamed of this. This is what I'm all about, was his attitude. He said also in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, as he instructed Timothy. And so that's what Paul was all about. That's what we are called to be all about. Every day, that should be a goal of ours. Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it says how the apostles daily in the temple and in every house ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So they were active in this. Everyday evangelism. Psalm 96, verses 2 through 3, it says, sing unto the Lord, bless his name, show forth his salvation, get this, from day to day. Show forth his salvation, his deliverance in your life, from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all the people. You get this idea. It's on a daily thing. As the Lord brings us opportunities, and we're looking for them too, day to day, we're sharing God's goodness. We're sharing the gospel of peace. We're sharing his wonders among the people. I love Psalm 40, verse 10. David said there, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Is that a testimony we could have? Could we say that I've not been hiding God's righteousness in my heart? I've been sharing it. I've been revealing it to those that I come across. Could we say, like David, that I have not been concealing God's loving kindness in my life? Every day, I've been evangelizing it. I've been sharing it with others. And so are you guilty of hiding God's righteousness within your heart and concealing his loving kindness? Or have you been faithful in sharing it? I'll tell you, if we were to search our hearts, all of us would have to say, at times we've been guilty of this, concealing it, of hiding it. But that certainly should not be the way we are. If we are all about the gospel, if we are every day making that effort to evangelize those that God brings across our path, then we won't be hiding it and concealing it. Now, I understand you got to take the opportunities that God gives to you. And you may be sitting there saying, well, I don't have much opportunity to share the gospel. I want to, but I don't have much opportunity. And I believe that God's desire for us, his will for us would be that we're filled with his Spirit, we're sensitive to his leading each moment of the day, and wherever God has us that day is the place that we are supposed to be sharing the gospel of peace. Spirit-filled soldiers will find opportunity, I believe, just about every day to do this. I'll take one of my kids, okay? One of my kids may have a desire to really take this to heart and share the gospel. Okay, they're a little more limited, obviously, but even then, you may try to take your situation like that and kind of set you apart from everyone else and say, but mine's unique. Even then, I believe a spirit-filled individual will find a way to be involved in this everyday evangelism mindset, this idea here. And so I think we should be very careful about saying, well, God just hasn't brought anyone along to me. Because the question is, have we been asking him? Have we been searching? Often it's something we forget about. We're very focused on other things. I'm burdened that we would see this happening on a regular basis in our church. Everyday evangelism. And the way that we know, the litmus test to know, is this actually occurring in our congregation week after week? The way we know if it is happening is by sharing prayer requests and testimonies. Sometimes, I've even felt this myself, I may have an opportunity to talk to someone, but I just don't really want to mention it, or I don't talk about it, or I don't give it as a prayer request. But I thought about that. Then I'm not encouraging you. And I should open my mouth. I should make mention. I should testify and give a prayer request when God has given me an opportunity. And I would encourage you, as God gives you opportunities throughout your day-to-day interactions with people, and as God gives you opportunities to share the gospel, we need to talk about it here. We need to put that on the prayer list on Wednesday nights as we're writing things down. We need to be sharing with one another what we're having going on in our lives in this area, so that we have a better heart of oneness and unity around the idea of everyday evangelism. I would say that if none of us are sharing prayer requests along these lines, then there's a good chance it's not happening. And we may be wrong in that, but we need to encourage one another in the work. So number one, we see that everyday evangelism requires everyone. But number two, notice with me how this passage in verse 15 really talks about the idea of readiness. Everyday evangelism requires readiness. So the word shod there, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, it's a verb. It means to put on, to tie underneath, to bind. The idea is to bind the sandals onto one's feet, to be ready for action. So even the concept of shodding something, of tying underneath, of putting those sandals on, has the idea with it of being ready. Being firmly grounded, stable, prepared. And then it says, shod with the preparation. So the preparation is a noun. It's the idea of readiness. All right? Preparation. Readiness. The state of being ready or prepared for action. And so I believe it's been said here before, maybe Pastor was preaching through this, ready with all readiness is the idea. Okay? So your feet, as a Christian soldier, are ready with complete readiness. There's a firmness there, there's a stability, there's a sure-footedness in the gospel of peace. In the defensive mode, there's this peace that overflows the Christian soldier. They are grounded in the peace of God, the darts are coming, but that doesn't bother them because they have the peace that they're they have the gospel that they're depending upon, and it gives them peace. That brings stability to you. You need that stability on your feet. In the offensive, though, that's the piece that we need to be sharing with others. And so, once again, we need to be ready. Our feet need to be shod. We have to be ready with all readiness to share that peace with others. Ready for action is a soldier at full readiness. And I want you to notice that everyday evangelism requires full readiness. Notice the gospel is ready. It's fully ready. There's not a problem with the gospel. It's powerful to save people in our day. Flip over to Romans chapter 1, verse 16, and you'll see that familiar verse in full this time. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul said there, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so understand, it's the gospel, the message that's contained in that good news, that is powerful. There is power within those words that the Holy Spirit provides as we're giving it. There is power in the gospel to bring men and women to salvation, to bring them to God through salvation. And so the gospel is fully ready. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God." So let's not question the power of the gospel today. In carrying out everyday evangelism, it's fully ready. The gospel is all that it needs to be. And in ministry, just as a side note, we're tempted to focus on maybe things that don't highlight the gospel. And we want to be very careful about that here at Faith Bible Church. We must never forget that the gospel needs to be magnified. It needs to be the main thing that we are communicating. All that we do must magnify the gospel, or we better think twice about doing it. Does it fit within our commission from Jesus? Is a question that we regularly need to be asking ourselves. So the gospel is ready. Notice also the harvest is ready. In John chapter 4, verse 35, you can flip over to there. John 4, 35. You can probably quote it. John 4, 35, it says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest." So there isn't a problem with the harvest. It's there. It's ready. It's white, the Bible says, already to harvest. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, Jesus said unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Luke chapter 10, verse 2, "Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few." Again, it's the same word, speaking of quantity. It's many. Much harvest is available, and it's white already. And so don't fall to the trap of thinking there's no one out there that wants to be saved. There are people out there that want to be saved, and God wants to lead us to them. We have to be willing every day to be a part of it. Every day filled with the Spirit. Every day listening to his leading and recognizing as we encounter things that come across our day, God's in all of this. God is working through all of this for a purpose. It requires us, though, to be ready. So the gospel's ready, the harvest is ready, but will we be ready? Is what I really want to get at in that point. Will we be ready? In the context here, being ready defensively is firmly resting in the peace and joy of salvation as a Christian soldier. But being ready offensively, I would say, includes being ready with the gospel and with a mind to share it. Again, what we need to be generating in us and asking the Lord to do in a work in all of our hearts is generating a mindset of everywhere I go, this is my main purpose for being here. This is my main goal, to share the good news of God, to demonstrate the gospel of peace, to explain it to those people that I come across. And so being ready with the gospel and having a mind to share it. I believe often we fail to share the gospel because we are either not fully ready. Maybe we don't have tracts on us, or we're not able to articulate the gospel or the love of God, or we're just flat out too busy to pause and to show the love of God. As I look at my life and I examine my life, those are my two biggest reasons when I fail at everyday evangelism. Maybe yours are different, I don't know, but I fail because either I'm not ready with the gospel, or I'm too busy. I'm in a hurry. And I've been thinking about this and realizing that, in fact, the most convenient form of evangelism is everyday evangelism. You're giving the gospel to those that are right in front of you each day, those that God brings across your path. You're just listening to God's Spirit, being filled with Him day after day, and the opportunities that He brings along, that's what you take. That is the most convenient form of evangelism, I believe. Now, we don't do things strictly on convenience, but praise the Lord, we don't have to work really hard for this. The yoke is easy and the burden is light if we are filled with the Spirit day after day. Romans chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. So Paul was ready. He was fully ready, ready with all readiness to do this. This was his desire. He was ready with the gospel, and he had a mind to share it. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So will you be ready? Let me just be really practical now for a little bit. As I mentioned, one of my problems in everyday evangelism, actually living with this mindset, has been that I've not been ready with the gospel. And when I say ready with the gospel, I'm talking about having the gospel in written form on my person, having a track on me. Now, we have a lot of tracks back there, but I'll just be honest, for me personally, none of them are just right for me. And so I have failed often to have them on my person. And so I want to share something the Lord laid on my heart to create, and we're going to start having these back on the track rack. I've needed something for many years that is small and can fit in my wallet, because anytime I take the bigger tracks, they get all bent up, and I don't like to hand out bent up tracks. And so, guys, especially for you who have a wallet, I needed something that was credit card size. And this can go right in my wallet, and I'm excited to start using this. And so this is simply, like I said, credit card size. When we get these shipped to the church by next Sunday, I was hoping they'd be here today, but we probably missed it by about a day. They'll probably arrive tomorrow. They'll look even nicer than this. This was just printed on our printer back there. But this is credit card size. I can easily put half a dozen in these right in my wallet, and my wallet is with me all the time. So, especially for you men, no excuses anymore, all right? We can have something like this on us all the time. But what is this? It's just a simple thank you card, all right? So we go to the restaurant, and the waitress did an excellent job. We want to give her an extra tip, of course, because we're representing Christ. And we can leave this with it. It's real simple. It says thank you on it. On the back, though, is the gospel. It's something to catch their attention and help them realize, here's somebody that's a little different than the norm. It says, I appreciated your help today. I want to share something with you that changed my life. I was a sinner separated from God with no hope in the world until I found the answer to life in the Bible. Jesus paid for my sins and died in my place. He rose again from the dead and offered me his free gift of eternal life. I trusted in him to receive it, and I am not trying to earn God's forgiveness through religion. Jesus did it all. Then it has, read Romans 3:23, John 14:6, 1 Corinthians 15, Ephesians 2:8-9, Acts 16:31. So it has scripture on there, too, that they're going to have to go and look it up. But this is the first of a number of these that I am burdened to create for our church to have available. And guys especially, have them in your wallets. Let's make sure that we are ready with all readiness by having the gospel on us, having tracks on us. Ladies, you carry your pocketbook or whatever, great, you can fit the bigger tracks in. But that just didn't work for me, all right? I look really funny with a pocketbook. I needed something smaller, and I'm excited about this tool that we can be ready with. So being ready with the gospel, having it in written form is extremely valuable. Having that on your person is extremely valuable when you are interacting with other people. Because, yes, you can talk about God when you're with them. And, yes, you can demonstrate the love of God, which I don't find that very hard to do when I'm interacting with people. But what I have found hard to do is keeping some nice tracks on me and actually being able to leave something with that person after we part ways. And I trust that this will be a useful tool to that, to meet that need. But we must be ready with the gospel, I would say, in written form, so we can leave something with them, but then also with a mind to share it. We've got to start thinking this way as a church. Day after day, wherever I'm going, whatever my agenda is, I am doing it for the gospel, first of all, because that is my great commission from my Savior. That is why I have to go to the store. It's for the gospel. And while I'm there, I'm going to pick up some bread and some milk and some other things. But that is why I have a doctor's appointment this day. It's for the gospel. God put it on my schedule for the gospel. And while I'm there, he's going to check me out and I'm going to have some tests done. That is why I'm going across the way to go and help the neighbor who's shoveling off their driveway or something. It's for the gospel. I'm going to look for an opportunity to say something. I'm going to have one of these, whatever. I'm going there across the road for the gospel, and while I'm there, I'm also going to shovel their driveway. You understand the change of mindset there. We have to approach our day after day in this way. So we need to be ready, every one of us. We need to be ready with all readiness. And then everyday evangelism, thirdly, requires the gospel of peace. And so, again, it's all about the gospel. It's all about taking that message. We can't be doing everyday evangelism without a focus on the gospel. And the passage says that you are supposed to have your feet shod with the preparation, fully ready with what? The gospel of peace. And so the message of the gospel is the only thing that can truly bring that peace to your soul. A believer knows this peace because he understands that he is forgiven of all his sins. He will not have to pay for them because Jesus already did. And so as we go and endeavor to carry out evangelism on a daily basis, wherever God takes us, we had better be stable with the gospel ourselves. Friends, we've got to be able to articulate it. We've got to be able to explain it to other people. But it's got to be something, first of all, that we possess. If you're not sure that you're saved today, then I ask you, why don't you become stable with the gospel today? That's the first step. Understand that Jesus died in your place. He paid for your sins. And he's calling to you to turn to him in faith and dependence. And when you do, God the Father will forgive you of your sins, and you will receive the gift of everlasting life that Jesus has the authority to give. So are you stable with the gospel? Do you possess it? Can you articulate it to another individual? Are you living it in your life? Are you living the peace that it brings? The gospel of peace, are you able to demonstrate that to those around you, or do they see you as a person that is all stressed and all uptight all the time? Or has the gospel brought that stability to you? It says in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And that's one of the main things that is the main thing a person must do with the message of the gospel is trust in God, trust in him. And when we trust, it brings peace, perfect peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Is that what you're experiencing in your life? Are you stable in the gospel? Have you found that to be your sure salvation, your sure foundation? And has the peace of God flooded your soul? Do you live that day after day? And so we had better be stable in the gospel ourselves, but then others need to be able to recognize that stability that we have. People around us need to see a Christian who is confident in his faith, joyful in his disposition, and grounded in his love and the forgiveness of God. Luke chapter 1, Verse 79 is interesting. John the Baptist's commission is mentioned there. And his job was to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So John's job was to guide those people, guide their feet into the way of peace. Have your feet found the way of peace already? Well, our job is to go out, just like John was commissioned to do, and guide other people's feet into that way of peace. They need to be able to recognize that we have a sure foundation in our lives. There's something that's peculiarly stable about that person. They need to see that. And what a perfect opportunity then to express your gratitude for something they've done for you, to say thank you, and to leave them with the gospel. So everyday evangelism must have the gospel of peace as a part of it. So as we close this afternoon, I just want to challenge you. Would you really pray about this concept? Would you really pray that God would burden you for this wherever you go, in whatever you're going, you're doing in your day? Would you look for those opportunities that God wants to bring across your path to be sharing his good news? Would you be ready with tracts? Would you have the gospel on your person? Would you make this a part of your everyday life? And would you share testimonies of what you're doing for the Lord here at our church? Would you encourage one another? Would you share more prayer requests on Wednesday night? This is the opportunity I had. This is an effort I'm praying about. Would you pray about it with me? Would we all be involved in everyday evangelism? Everyday evangelism, everyone. Everyone here needs to be a part of it. And so my prayer is that it would become a practice of our entire church. And that I can continue to share this burden with you for months to come. Would we talk about it? Would it become a part of our regular vocabulary? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I'm asking that you would do a work among us all, that you would give us a greater heart for the people that we come across. It may be when we take our car to the shop that you give an opportunity. It may be when we go to the grocery store. And Lord, help us to see that this is not a heavy burden. It's really actually exciting to be used by you. But Lord, we need to be sensitive to your Spirit as you lead us. Help us to be Spirit-filled Christians. Help us to be ready with all readiness day after day to share the gospel, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.